found my new black shoes. While cleaning out the bones left in my closet, they were there with the bad excuse.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of Gamers First Podcast. That's four, yeah. We five if you count the spoiler cast.
Spoiler cast.
But four real episodes of hard hitting gaming news.
Hard hitting, yeah. It'll be the last episode that
in Austin. Yeah, and that I'm here next to you. We're gonna start doing this one over Skype. And
yeah, we'll have like about a week, 2 week hiatus. But during that time, I actually will be putting together a video blog for you guys that should go in another week or so. That'll be sort of an idea called the Rumor Mill and maybe Trailer of the Week that we can talk a little bit more at the end of this thing.
Yeah, so we'll hit back on that as it goes out, but I'm getting ready to move to South Carolina in a couple days here.
Moving on up.
To start seminary for people that don't know. Yeah, actually, I'm a gamer that wants to be a pastor.
That's awesome.
who knows how many of those there are? I know a couple other ones myself, but I think they're kind of few and far between. Anyway, let's
get this going. Oh, okay.
Again, I'm Drew.
Yes,
as always. Sorry,
I'm Brian.
Brian's here with me.
You should know us by now.
Yeah, hopefully you've been listening. If not, go back, check out the other couple episodes. We're not too far into the series yet,
right.
So you can definitely catch up on some good conversations.
And yeah, we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot.
So we're gonna roll and go. Hope you can keep up with us.
Right. So let's start first. What have you been playing? I know you put up a Rage review and
a
Borderlands review, that kind of stuff.
I'm still actually having some fun with Borderlands. I am playing Rayman Origins. We'll be reviewing that soon. Love that game. It's amazing. It's a great, great arcade game. I've had a lot of fun. It's something that everyone can play because Stacy plays it with me, and you know she's not very good with a dual stick, but it's just one stick pressing A and I think B, and then you can actually slap each other. It's hilarious. It's a lot of fun.
It's a good universe, and it's a good platform.
The art style
it's
too
fun.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm playing Dragon's Dogma, so I've actually played a whole lot this last
week. It's a lot of games right now.
To go.
Yeah, and you thought about Not Rage, Not So Hot.
Not Rage, no.
I talked about it a little bit in our first podcast, I know, and I played through it and couldn't even quite finish it. It just, nothing really kept me engaged.
It was
sad to see, because it is a great developer and has a great history. Pretty much invented the first-person shooter. And,
Doom is a great. I'm excited. I'm excited for the, at least I know the engine looks really good, so I'm really looking forward to their Doom 4 and
right.
Really, I mean, even the Doom 3 BFG edition for anyone who likes Doom, I think will be a great.
Was it id Tech 5?
I think
their engine, but no, it looked really pretty. I've been playing. Let's see, this morning I had to pull myself away from it to do this podcast. That's how much we care about you guys. But at PlayStation Plus, again, another quick plug, I got Walking Dead episodes 1 and 2 for free, and I played through the first, maybe only 30 minutes of episode 1,
the
first 3 chapters of episode 1, and it's good.
Did you get past the first chapter? Is it like actually kind of lengthy?
Yeah, so I'm in the first episode, I'm 3 chapters in, I think there's 9 or 10 chapters in the first
episode.
And there's, there's around... I looked through the trophy list, and it has the trophies for all 5 already.
Uh-huh.
And the cool thing, trophy tip, achievement tip probably, is you just have to play through all 5 episodes, and you get a platinum trophy.
Oh, wow.
Or, like, the top achievement.
That's nice.
So that's something to keep you, like, buying them. But you can get the first 2 for free, and you get a gold when you finish each episode.
Okay.
So it's worth a quick playthrough.
And it's good.
It's really engaging. The choices you make a difference. Like the things that you say to people, change what's happening and get saved for future chapters.
But you don't actually control your character, right?
You do. Not so like when action sequences start, it's more like a playable comic.
Right.
It's definitely, but it's got an adventure game to it.
Okay.
So you look at things, you examine things, pick things up. It's a little bit like Heavy Rain play style.
Okay. Yeah,
So you're not doing a whole lot, but there's sequences where it's like, oh crap, tap X so you can like push this zombie away from you.
Violet?
Until you can like hit it. Yeah. It's very gory. The art style reminds me of Borderlands actually. It's very comic booky. These games are based off the comics, not the TV show. And so they supposedly tie very close to the comics. I don't know anything about the comics. I haven't read any of them. But supposedly are pretty tied to there. But it's a good game, and it's fun. It's engaging. It is. It's nice and gory. It's pretty dark.
You can throw a review up for that when you finish it?
Yeah, I will. I will put up some reviews of the first couple episodes. And like I said, free right now. The other things I've been
free for the PlayStation Plus user. So this is. It looks like Drew has officially said his stamp of approval is on.
That's absolutely like I've only paid $4.50 so far, and I've gotten 14 free games, including. Wow. Infamous 2, right. Which I'm still playing, and the first two Walking Dead episodes, Pac-Man Championship Edition DX, which awesome. I threw a review up, which is, is the best Pac-Man experience you're ever going to have. So I've still been playing a little bit of that, and I've been checking out a little bit of Little Big Planet 2, and just a quick nod to our news, which is coming up, a little segue here. Little Big Planet, the universe from Little Big Planet on the PSP, and the first game on PS3 and the second game on PS3, that world, users have created 7 million unique levels.
That's just insane.
I mean, I played one That's the other insane. Day that was like a survival mode in Modern Warfare.
What?
And this guy, Modern Warfare 3, and he made enemies like and gave them hit points to the like right level, and they would come in with different weapons depending on the type, and there's like suicide bomber enemies, and you have a little helmet and you shoot them.
That's awesome.
And so I played survival mode with three other people. It was four person co-op. This is Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, this is Little Big Planet 2, okay.
But Little Big Planet 2, it has more tools.
Right.
And if you play Little Big Planet 2, which is free on PlayStation Plus right now, PlayStation Plus, then it has all the levels that have ever been created on any Little Big Planet game.
Okay,
you can play them on Little Big Planet 2. If you have the original Little Big Planet, you can play probably a little more than half of those levels, but anything that's created on 2, you can't play on 1 or on PSP.
Okay.
But the things created on 1 or PSP, you can play on 2.
That's pretty
cool. So all the content transfers forward. So I was playing the original Little Big Planet, which I got after the PSN outage for free, and now I'm playing 2. And it's pretty sweet. It's good stuff.
I've never played Little Big Planet, but I hear good things.
It's like Rayman or something. Right. And it's a good platformer. Game. You can run through it very casually if you want to.
Is it about making
the different levels is a lot of fun. Well, I mean, so there's a story and all that kind of stuff, and it's a lot of fun. And I love playing other people's levels.
Right.
I'm not huge on creating levels. But it's playing other people's levels is the main idea of the game. There's a story mode. You have to play it to get trophies. So I played through the first Little Big Planet story mode to get trophies. And you actually, if you want to platinum those games, you have to create your own levels and that kind of stuff. So I'm never going to get there. But
I've never been a creator either.
But it's fun to see what other people can do, like that Modern Warfare 3 shooter.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, 7 million unique levels. If you're interested in platformers and that crazy cool kind of stuff,
get on PlayStation Plus and get it for free.
That's right. Anyway, moving into a kind of a larger chunk of news is again, right? You know, big things happen towards the end of the week sometimes, and our podcasts
are
not quite the end of the week. And so the day after we recorded the podcast this time, then EA had their event. And so we saw a few things. The first big chunk was about the Wii U.
Yes. I actually missed that part, but you were telling me about it.
Yeah, so the first, almost half of their presentation, it wasn't a very long presentation. They're just kind of trying to build some steam going forward. They're kind of rebounding. They're losing less money than they had been losing in previous quarters.
And are they behind it as much as Ubisoft? Like, are they really going to bring games?
So I think they are. And what they didn't have that same kind of strong showing that Ubisoft did.
Right.
But that's kind of what this press conference was about. The first section of it was really about that. So Madden and FIFA are coming to Wii U. This year's Madden and FIFA as launch titles.
I heard about that. I know Mass Effect 3 is going to be a launch.
Mass Effect 3 launch as well.
Which I think is awesome.
And so those three games together, and they're actually, all three of these games, it looks like EA is using the tablet really effectively. Like, I saw screenshots for Mass Effect. It's your quick map powers. So all of your powers are on the thing.
That's nice.
So you get your teammates' power, your squadmates' powers, and your powers are all on the tablet. So, you know, you don't have to try to map them to different, right, to triangle or buttons or whatever. You know, you don't have to map them to different buttons. You just tap it on the touchscreen. Looks like it's going to be really simple to do that. And so that looks very meaningful. Madden, you're selecting plays on it, which is nice because it's not on the big screen, right?
Right, yeah, you're going to be able
to on your little tablet. So that's kind of stuff. FIFA, yeah, and they even had some of the finesse moves for FIFA, but it looked like they were using them really well. Like it was just like a swipe to the left or a swipe to the right. But FIFA, you can change your formation in every version of FIFA ever, and it's going to be this way on FIFA 13 for PS3 and that kind of stuff.
What are you eating? Dog break.
Go ahead. But so in every version of FIFA, you have to pause the game to change a formation. Not in the Wii U version. You can actually change it on the fly with the tablet. So they are adding new things, and it has everything that the games for the other consoles will have. And that is the thing with the Wii U, is it kind of looks like a current generation console. But you know, the Wii sold like crazy, and I bet you the Wii U does.
And anyone who's interested in playing Mass Effect 3, and you're like, oh man, trilogy? No way! I'm not gonna have any idea what's going on. They do a really great job catching you up with the comics, and the Wii U will have a comic version that'll let you choose not only the first story's main plot points, but the second one as well.
Yeah, I have only played Mass Effect on PS3, so that means I've only played the second and third game, and the second game did a really good job of catching me up on what happened in the first and letting me make the decisions.
I mean, yeah. I liked it so much, I was like, screw this, I'm just going
to
run
through
the comic.
So you don't have to play the first one over again, yeah. But yeah, so big push on the Wii U, and it looks good. Then the next section, they talk about their mobile games.
Yeah,
and so
that
was
EA
is really, really excited about their mobile games, and they have what look to be some really good mobile games coming to iPad
and iPhone
and Android.
Yeah, a lot of developers saying too that, I mean, if they don't release that next gen console, then mobile games could surpass the current gen.
It's starting to happen. It's slowly happening. They, you know, EA brought franchises like Mass Effect to the iPhone
and Dead Space,
and it helped with your battle readiness for the end of Mass Effect 3. If
you played
Mass Effect
too.
Infiltrator, yeah. And it's fun, it's enjoyable, and even if you only play a couple hours of it, like, you saw a benefit in Mass Effect 3. And so, you know, it's not the best game on iPhone, but it works really well. It's actually one of the better shooters, because it's kind of on rails. They don't try to do too much with the shooting, and a lot of them do. And, I mean, you get to use biotic powers and that kind of
awesome.
Stuff. Like, yeah, we've always...
I mean, while we're still on Mass Effect, I'll go ahead and drop to my favorite news. Was the DLC that's coming to Mass Effect, a story-based DLC. I don't know how many of you are really even excited about that, because I know a lot of people feel like their Shepard story has been completed. But if you are feeling a little bit left out, or maybe you missed Mass Effect, or need a reason to go back, Leviathan will be the next DLC, where you're looking for this Reaper Destroyer, or maybe even a past Reaper who decided that he didn't want to be a Reaper anymore. Who really knows, but it sounds awesome, and it actually will have an effect on your ending. So some nods at the end, I guess, that were there in place in the previous update that will happen when you play Leviathan. So I'm really excited to get my hands on that and play through Mass Effect again.
Absolutely. So some of the highlights from the EA Mobile, going back that direction. They're number one on iOS. Like, their games, if you put them all together, as far as like the
iPhone,
yeah,
right.
Okay. So iPhone and iPad together, okay. All their sales, they're even higher than like Rovio that does Angry Birds and that kind of stuff, which is a big deal. With all their games together, they're there, and so they've seen like a whole lot of stuff going on, and they also are looking a lot at freemium, and that's what they're calling their free to play and microtransactions is freemium.
It's called freemium.
Yeah, like premium, but freemium is what they're labeling it. And that's catching on in the industry as well. So just a little dictionary action for you there, a little defining terms. But FIFA 13, is coming back to iPad. FIFA's coming back to iPad. Online multiplayer.
That's
which is
cool.
A really big deal for people.
And is it good on the iPad? I mean, does it actually
I've heard
game?
It was great. I looked at reviews. I don't have an iPad to play it or anything, but I heard that it's a real FIFA experience on the iPad, and it's even
That's
better
awesome.
This time around. Online multiplayer. They're coming out with a new Real Racing game. And
I saw that. That looks really good.
And
that
then,
Orc Vengeance, too.
Yeah, that's where I'm going next. Is Orc Vengeance is a new RPG. And It's supposed to be really good. It's kind of slightly open world.
Right.
Looks a little bit like Infinity Blade Dungeons kind of stuff, but it looks like it's going to be a really solid game.
It does.
Cool. And it's really pretty. It's one of the best looking games I've seen on an iOS. They have a new Plants vs. Zombies, so if you like that franchise, check it out. You can make your zombie talk back to you.
Yeah, and all that kinds was of pretty crazy funny. That was so funny.
It's a silly like utility app. It's not necessarily a game. It's kind of like a Tamagotchi back in the day, like those little pets that you took care of. You take care of your zombie, and he'll say things back to you in zombies, which is his language. Looks like Furby to me, too.
Yeah.
The Sims 2, or Sims 3, Sims sorry, 3 seasons.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
So you're going to be able to experience winter and summer and do surfing and snowboarding.
I never felt
if you like Sims, go for
it's
it.
It's kind of like Waking. I mean, it's kind of like a Second Life game, I guess, is it? It's kind of the same
A little bit like PlayStation Home. Sims is like the original. It's kind of done right.
Right.
And then Need for Speed World has 12 million players, and it's free to play. And so it's one of the bigger games out there.
Well, yeah, they've really come back. Need for Speed has made a heck of a comeback. Yeah.
And so the Need for Speed Racing Online is their free to play game is a crazy game.
Yeah.
And is doing really well right now. So if you're into this free to play stuff that we've been telling everybody to
check
out, it's worth it.
It looks like it's going to move that way. So.
It really, things have picked up quick moving in that direction. And I think Dust514, as we mentioned before, is going to really push the envelope for
amazing.
Console developers.
Especially if it comes out hard, and if it actually comes out hard, it's a great game. Like, that's going to change. Change a lot.
Absolutely. So. I think they need to wait until after Call of Duty.
I think so too, and Halo and all that.
And give it some time, but early December release, still December. Before Christmas. And it's
I hope it transfers over if there's a new console in 2013. So I hope it's not like a year game, but then you have to keep your PS3. So hopefully they don't make that mistake.
Yep. Hopefully that works out right.
But Battlefield 3, I was excited about that. That I mean, you know, I love Battlefield 3.
Yeah,
and
you're in the what is it?
The Armored Kill DLC.
Yeah, what is it? Battlefield Premium.
Oh, yes, I am a premium member.
And they have over 1 million people now, 1.3, 1.4 million people doing
it.
It's
worth it. It really
is. Nowhere near as big as Call of Duty, but that's big for EA.
Right.
And it bodes well for Battlefield fans going
which,
forward.
Which, I mean, blows my mind because EA's, their premium service, I think it's just trash. Like, even their map packs and all that are trash. When you compare them
for
like,
Call of Duty,
right?
Is that what you're saying?
Right, for Call of Duty. What you're looking at for Battlefield when you get premium for $50.
Stuff.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
You get in a week early, right?
You get everything a week early, and the maps aren't just maps, but they're Armor Kill is going to have new vehicles, and then the largest map DICE has ever made. I mean, I'm beyond excited.
Right, new vehicles, new game modes, new all kinds of stuff. So it's definitely packed full of stuff. Medal of Honor Warfighter. There's a new trailer out and
that
kind of stuff.
I was like, I feel hurt right now. My eyes were like melting during that part. I'm like, really, Linkin Park? What are you doing?
Yeah, so Linkin Park is back in on Medal of Honor. They really are pushing Medal of Honor hard.
And they're dirty with that Battlefield 4 beta
great.
On your face.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you want Battle, get Battlefield 4. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's a little much. And so they say it's the most authentic modern war experience, and which might actually be true. They really... To their credit, the developers of that game, and I'm missing the studio right now.
Danger Close.
Yeah. They do a really good job of getting real U.S. soldiers.
Yeah, they do.
And talking to them and getting real missions.
And they're not
places.
Making the mistake of doing the single player and then having DICE do the multiplayer. I mean, they're doing the whole package this time. So it could be good. But even though it could be the more authentic experience, I mean, they're using the DICE engine, and I mean, it does. It looks like Battlefield.
It looks like it's trying to not be Battlefield,
but it is
Battlefield. And then it's got too much competition this year.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's set
it really
up for
does.
Failure in my mind because Black Ops 2 looks so good.
Yes.
And they put that multiplayer trailer out, and
that
I'm back in. I was out of Call of Duty. I didn't play Modern Warfare 3.
I was
3.
Too. I know.
I didn't even touch Modern Warfare 3.
Modern Warfare 3 is awful.
And I didn't even touch it. And Black Ops 2, I'm in.
I'm in. I'm all in. Like, I got a couple of friends who's like, oh, it looks like Call of Duty. They don't know how to advertise. I'm like, well, the controls should look like Call of Duty, like you were saying.
Best first-person shooter gameplay of all time.
It needed a new code of stuff. And, I mean, the new engine looks great. The fact that you got the Batman Rider on it is amazing. I mean, the co-Batman
Rider.
And then the fact that it's a future. So, I mean, the things they're adding are awesome. I mean, being able to, I can't wait to get into...
And it's the near and realistic future.
Yes, exactly. I'm beyond excited.
Things like we saw EMP grenades that like disable people's weapons and stuff. Awesome. Yeah, or like microwaves heat or something, right? And they're tied into reality. Well, from what I understand, the military is actually working on these things that emit microwaves, and it makes you feel like you're about to set on fire. Like it's that's a crowd control. Like it's they're always working on a lot of non-lethal things to stifle riots and that kind of stuff.
It releases.
So it's like microwaves, right? And so it goes out, and so it feels like you're on fire, and you want to get away from it.
Right.
But think about you put that at a choke point, you put that at this tiny little thing, and then everybody starts running that way. They immediately have to move their gun down, even if it's just for a second, and you're gonna crush them. And
I can't wait. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to a lot of that stuff. But yeah, so I think Medal of Honor is kind of set up for failure.
Wii
U is going to have multiplayer for Mass Effect. We didn't mention that real quick.
We didn't,
That's nice. It still looks like Wii U is not going to have great multiplayer. Nintendo's still afraid of online. They still make you have friend codes and all that kind of stuff. So not excited about that.
I'm not overly excited for the Wii U, but it's nice that they're finally adding graphics for all the people out there who... Because, like I've always said, Nintendo does what Nintendo does because they're like Mac. You know, they have fan base for Nintendo that'll never leave Nintendo.
Because they were the best. They were the first real great console.
Yep.
And people love them for it. So switching from EA, that's most of our EA news.
We've
got a little bit more in a second, but we're going to switch gears to Activision for a second.
Yes, we have some interesting news from them that came out. The prototype developer, Radical Entertainment, is actually closing its doors. There was a statement from Activision that basically said that they made, a substantial investment into the prototype IP. But however, as many of you probably know, it didn't do as well. I think Infamous 2 and Infamous really did destroy that game. I mean, they're almost the same kind of game. And, just Infamous is just a much better game.
Well, so you lose half your audience.
Yeah.
And really, Activision, they expect things to do so great. They're the only game company, they're the only publisher that's making money right now. And they're making so much from Call of Duty. Things that don't sell, millions and millions of copies, they don't survive. And, we're seeing that happen across the board. That's what happened to Amalur.
Yeah.
Is unreal expectations. That game it sold over 1 million copies. But it had to sell over 3 million to make its money back. And, they're talking about EA with Dead Space 5. Dead Space 3 has to sell 5 million copies or Dead Space is done as a franchise.
Well, I won't be mad at that. I think I'm done with Dead Space.
But expecting 5 million, setting 5 million as the mark is outrageous.
Like the only people who can expect anything are the people who make Call of Duty.
Right. Uncharted sold that well. Exclusives. Right.
I mean, you really do. Like, you should know.
But every Call of Duty is going to hit 10 million plus.
Yeah.
Really early on. And that kind of stuff. Madden will sell that well.
Yes, Madden will sell that well. They did say that they're closing their doors, but some employees will remain working for Radical Entertainment and supporting existing Activision publishing projects.
Which means they're probably just moving more people to Call of Duty.
Probably, yes. But I'm not mad at it either. I played Prototype 2, and I got 2 hours in, and I just, it just wasn't that good. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
The powers were cool, and that was about it.
I always found it very interesting. It's definitely, tried to be older and more mature than Infamous. Yes. Whereas Infamous is a teen game, and now that doesn't mean Infamous isn't violent, but it means it's not gory and that kind of stuff. Prototype, you're surfing on people and that kind of stuff. So, so it looks like Prototype might be done.
I
don't know how many people are going to miss it, or at least miss it that much. I mean, there's probably a fan base out there. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's some Xbox people that wish they could play Infamous that play Prototype and are really excited. And really not excited that they closed down. Next, we're moving on to a little bit of interesting news, an interesting turn of events. We learned from Twitter and broke the story pretty quick.
I was like, this can't be real.
Pretty unfortunate. Yeah.
But it is real. It looks like Paul Dini, for those of you who don't know who that guy is, he is the mind behind the writing in the both Batman games.
Yeah, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. And he also did Batman the Animated Series.
Yes, that's true.
The old Saturday morning cartoon that... He was the first person to really make Batman grittier.
Right.
Up until that, Batman the Animated Series, Batman was very happy-go-lucky. Yeah. They talk about the Silver Age. Adam West.
Right.
Was, you know, very goofy, same bat time, same bat channel. Like, right. You know, just very, very goofy Batman. And Paul Dini really kind of turned the world around.
And now he is off. He is not returning for Rocksteady's next game. I don't know if that means that they're just done with Batman. I don't really know what that means. I don't. And if they do make another Batman game, he's definitely not writing it. So
right, yeah. If their next game is Batman, then it's not written by Paul Dini, which does lend a little bit more credibility to the rumor that it's going to be a the prequel Justice League, and right. a Silver Age prequel. Right. Yeah, so it might be a happier
but it also
Batman,
opens the door for other comic book writers. I mean, maybe. You know, maybe we'll get some big guys in there who want a chance at writing a comic book game. So
yeah,
it could be exciting, or it could just be the worst move in the history
really, and
of
one the saddest part of it is he mentions multiple times and on multiple occasions that he
wanted
to do their next game.
Yeah.
And to have somebody that's done so much in that universe and been so successful writing those two games and really writing every piece of Batman stuff that he's written. To
maybe,
be that
maybe
successful and not
press.
Be able to
if
do
gets
it.
Enough press, maybe people will. Get like, dude, you gotta let him write something. I mean, come on.
Well, he said he took work where he can't do anything for the rest of this year.
Oh,
so if they're writing it right now, then he can't do it.
So yeah, that was a sad turn of events right there.
Yeah, so you know, all the best to Paul Dini, and hopefully we'll you know, there's a lot of loose ends in Arkham City.
Yeah,
but you know, I will say this, you know, there are very mixed reviews on Harley Quinn's Revenge or whatever.
Yeah, terrible
the DLC.
DLC.
He didn't write that.
Well, it was awful.
Yeah, and you can tell. Exactly. And so that makes me a little scared because you could tell.
Yeah.
That
it was
not the same.
It was a very different mood and feel and everything.
But
yeah, so we said we were going to return to some EA news. What we left off was they...
Kind of the big announcement.
Yeah.
They closed the show with this.
The Army
and,
of Two.
Army of Two, the Devil's Cartel.
It's going to be completely new characters, so
yep.
That's why it's not Army of Two, Three, which is very weird when you think of it that way. It's actually going to be called Army of Two, the Devil's Cartel, which is going to follow two completely new guys running on the Frostbite 2 engine. You know, I love that engine.
I'm excited about that.
Excited.
Yeah, that's destruction. That's great. You know, I what it makes me think about is, you know, splitting up. I go one way, you go one way,
right.
And then... You get on the other side, you know, grenade through a wall,
right?
To get something, right? Like
that'd be
somebody,
awesome.
You know, like I'm sitting there spotting for you and be like, all right, now, and
yeah.
You just like start, you just bring down a building on top of a guy.
That would just be amazing. And it's supposed to feature an intense narrative. It will obviously feature your split screen co-op or probably online co-op.
Yeah, that's there. You know, there's not a lot of split screen co-op left
no,
in this
not.
World.
There's
and
not. A lot of people don't. I don't know.
No couch co-op.
Yeah.
It's
there's
it
no
just doesn't
co-op.
Happen. I was talking about, I had a long conversation about this last night, a conversational podcast, so I'm going to get off topic a little bit, but I went and had a couple beers with some friends from the Tejas Club that I was in at UT, and we were talking about games, and we were talking about, you know, like a house full of 30 guys is the, should be the ultimate place
To
have video games and to do like think about like LAN parties like
right.
with the original Halo, and I've heard stories of guys that were you know in the club and lived in the house in you know the early 2000s when those Halo games were coming out, and yeah, and you know you put they had four Xboxes in four different rooms,
right.
And you got four people on each Xbox, and there's still people like not playing that live in the house, right?
Right.
Like, but there's enough. I mean, there's a TV in every room in that house, and there's a TV on the first floor where nobody lives,
yep.
And there's there's an Xbox in pretty much every room in the house. And so it's like, you know, like how cool would it be? Or maybe like Red Alert 2 or just like
right.
random crap that people could play. And really, though, there's just kind of a stigma of couch play and couch co-op and video games in general. And
yeah, they're moving away from that. For one reason or another, they are moving away from that.
Yeah. Because, you know, you guys think about things like GoldenEye
yeah.
on the N64 that everybody would just
so
sit around. And, you know, like now, like obviously, no one wants to actually play that game anymore.
I do.
But, like, but that's the kind of stuff that gets played in the Tejas Club. And for some reason, it's more acceptable to play those retro
yeah.
games, especially, like, co-op kind of stuff. Retro games are
Well, every Halo
couch
has
play.
The split screen.
Yeah. Which is true. And there's a lot, there's quite a bit of...
It's true, though. I mean, you can't have a video game conversation with a bunch of guys and not, you know, bring up, like, you know, what happened to the co-op games? What happened to split-screen co-op? What happened to be like, hey, dude, come over, let's have some beers
and
play...
And play this game,
yeah.
Right.
Now it's like, well, I'll just stay at my house. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, like, I'll flip the Switch, right?
But,
like,
you know, we...
Put on my headset.
We like... It's better with the interaction in the home, you know. It's
when you can stand up and yell. Things like LAN parties, right? Like,
right.
You had a Halo upstairs and a Halo downstairs, and you're like... Dang it, who the heck is whatever? Like,
right.
Who's driving that freaking Warthog? You just ran me over four times in a row. Like, and you can hear that from up, you know, somebody yells upstairs, you can hear it downstairs. You're like, yeah, I'm getting them.
You can just run downstairs and punch them in the face.
Right.
You can do that online. So, I mean, but yeah, I mean,
Army of Two split screen co-op is
The cool thing is they said there's going to be a new customization system, so it should be more robust rather than it was in the last two, because it really wasn't there.
You just kind of change your mask in the second game. It was
right.
Change your
mask, change the
armor.
There wasn't a lot you could do.
It was purely cosmetic.
Yes, it was. It was purely cosmetic. And they said the game will be shown at Germany's Gamescom. So,
which is coming up in a couple
weeks.
It's
coming up soon. So
real soon.
I hope it's as good as... I mean, the other two games weren't obviously the best games, but, you know, they spawned three games. So they were good enough to continue, and I'm excited.
Yeah, and it, like we said, there, you know, there's... We're still holding on to split screen. Borderlands.
Yes, we are. Some games
I think the new Borderlands is going to have it.
I think all the Call of Duties do it, too.
Yeah, it changes back and forth.
I know Infinity Ward has done it with Black Ops, at least.
Yeah.
I didn't play Modern Warfare 3.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know.
But speaking of some coming up games, you got Assassin's Creed 3 coming up soon, and there was a really great video showcasing Anvil Next Engine, which I thought looked amazing. All the things they're going to be rendering
out on
the Xbox. The
things that they're able to do on Assassin's Creed, yeah. So they've showcased multiple times the Battle of Bunker Hill.
Right.
And they kind of say this, but... For some reason, it hasn't gotten the kind of press that I think it deserves.
Yeah, for real.
2,000 characters on screen.
Fighting.
Moving.
Shooting,
yeah, really.
Smoke effects. Lighting effects. I mean,
fully animated 2,000 characters on screen. And that's insane. That's crazy. And it lets them do, you know, if you've seen anything on Assassin's Creed 3, you've seen some of the platforming and the movement in this game. And... Whereas in the other games, you could definitely tell, like, oh, hey, this brick is sticking out a little bit extra. Let me jump up and grab onto it. Or you're running around on trees in the environment, and you're doing that kind of stuff. And this engine is what is allowing them to do this kind of real-world scaling and make it possible to climb up things like trees and cliffs and not have this, like, outlined path. You know, even Uncharted, you know, you see, like, the little yellow ledges, and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to jump to this little yellow ledge over here.
Yeah.
Like, that engine is really cool. We're seeing some good engines. Speaking of...
I honestly think it's, like, engines are making for the next gen, and then they're just managing to put it on.
Which is, that's kind of exactly what it is, and they have to scale it down a little bit, I'm sure, to put it 360 and PS3, both.
Because I know DICE did come out and say... Frostbite 2 was made for next-gen consoles, but they didn't come out, so they put...
Well, that's where you're getting all of these developers that are saying, hey, this generation has lasted too long, and the reason that they're saying that is, you know, like, consumers... Really, graphics are so good right now that...
They
are. Unless you're like you and me, you're not going to notice the jump into the next realm, right? Like, it's already as good as it ever needs to be.
That's what I've been telling friends. They're like, I can't wait. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, it will not look like it did going from Xbox to Xbox 360.
Right, because we're in full HD.
Right.
You know, like, TVs aren't even beyond that. And so you'll be able to tell there will be more light, more textures and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, to a trained eye, you can tell, you know, more particle effects and rain.
God,
rain. Looks like rain and stuff. And it's just, like, so that stuff's really cool. And there's a lot to work with, but you're not going to see that much. But developers, it seems like this next gen is almost for developers.
It does.
More than consumers. Because developers want it. They have these new engines. We saw Agni's Philosophy, which proved that Square might still be the best people on the face of this planet at making cutscenes.
That was gorgeous.
Since Final Fantasy VII came out and, you know, was in 3D and the real deal and had cutscenes, everybody has just fawned over Square Enix cutscenes. Square Enix. And it's the same. Final Fantasy XIII, both iterations, when you get to cutscenes... And the CG that they do in there, it's just very pretty. And they know the right art style and the right kind of stuff. And that's what Agni's Philosophy is, the same thing. And that's running on their new engine.
Yeah. And we got to see, you saw the Unreal Engine, which showed off the particle. That showed off, I think, more of what you'll see in game.
That's exactly
lighting and particles.
So Epic, I guarantee you, Epic, who makes the Unreal Engines, they want this new generation so bad so they can sell a new engine to people. And that's why we're seeing these things in consoles. Like DirectX 11, because they want these things that, you know, they can, when developers are making a game, they can use all these crazy engines and put it on the PC.
Right.
And they can see the potential, and they can see the exact game that they want to make and how far they can push it and have pushed it. And you don't get to see it when you move it to console. So they want consoles that can...
The development cycle is changing too. I think that's another reason why they want it. You look in, there's an in-depth video over the new Unreal Engine and the way it's offering, what it's offering developers in terms of creating, and then how easy it is to do some of these things that took forever. So that's another thing. I mean, we got even on technology now for 8 years where people had to do everything the hard way, and they're still kind of doing things the hard way.
Well, you look at Skyrim, and like people still, that's Sony needs to, I hope they're listening with the PS4 or Orbis, whatever the heck they want to call it. But, you know, games as recent as Skyrim, the developer has had so many problems going to PS3, and it's because whereas like the 360 has less RAM, I think, than the PS3, but PS3's is dedicated, so 256 megabytes has to be graphics,
right,
and 256 has to be processing, and Skyrim uses the 360 and just moves things around, right? Yeah. So it uses less RAM on one end and more RAM on another end. And that's why, like, you can drop a sword in one place in the game and it'll be there forever in the game,
right,
unless somebody picks it up. And you know, the fix for it in the PS3 would be to kind of, like, reset, right? So, like, you'd have to, like, all the doors that you opened a long time ago would end up being shut and all the whatever. And which kind of breaks their experience, but if it makes the game run better, I think they should have done it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the console doesn't live up to what developers want. Mm-hmm. And even to this point, especially on the PS3, people just say it's harder to develop for.
So we definitely need the new wave of consoles. God, we need it so bad. Which, you know, since we're on it, like I was saying earlier today, that's kind of this idea we have that I'll be running through the last few weeks creating a video. It's going to be kind of like the rumors of what's going on with the new console systems and these new games. And I mean, rumors, obviously. Anything that's going on in the industry that could possibly be happening or not be happening, me and Drew felt like that we will indeed... what did we say, Drew? That we will speculate and comment on rumors?
Yes, yes. So, you know, all of game developers and publishers and people like that, particularly Sony and Microsoft, they say we do not comment on rumors and speculation.
So we do comment
on rumors and speculation, and so you'll get our opinions on what's coming up and what's next.
What we feel. We might even start some rumors of our own. I was thinking, you know, I always like to say that Watch Dogs and Star Wars 1313 are next-gen games.
I don't know. I think so.
I think so, too. So, yeah, stuff like that. And I'm going to add in some MLG news for all you guys out there whenever I can. I'm learning more about that every day. I know it's a huge market for a lot of gamers, for a lot of hardcore gamers. And I want to add trailers of the week into there. So you'd be able to go on this little video blog, about 5-10 minutes max, usually hopefully 5 minutes. And I'll just show you guys all the latest trailers that I feel are really awesome and tell you about what rumors I think are real and completely fabricated. I mean, actually, another example, you had the Microsoft vice president, I believe. I don't know who it was. Who was it? Was it the VP? I can't remember who came.
He's a VP of Outlook. He's the project manager for Outlook.
And he said new Xbox. He did not say new Xbox update, but of course Microsoft then came out and was like, no. He was talking about the latest update.
Which I think was kind of a fail on Microsoft's part, because you had this chance to then Microsoft make a big presentation about, hey, this is what's coming up next, and really kind of, you know, lift the veil.
Instead, another joke. Now everybody's
No. And everybody's like, obviously the new Xbox.
I love what IGN did. They have not Obi-Wan. They had a, who was Liam Neeson's character?
The guy from Taken?
Yeah.
No, oh, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn, yes. he was doing his Jedi mind tricks, and he's like, yeah. "There is no new Xbox." Yeah. I'm like, yes, give us a break. Let's see it already.
Yep. So
that is coming in the future.
Yep, and I think the last thing we had is looking at VG charts, and you know, obviously those aren't the final numbers, but they're right. Really good ballpark numbers for
pre-orders,
sale statistics, and that kind of stuff. And so looking at pre-orders, VG charts, Halo 4 has slightly more than Black Ops 2.
Yes, it does. Of course it does. It's Halo 4.
Well, but is very interesting.
Because Black Ops is on both consoles.
It's both consoles.
Yeah. That's because Halo is amazing. I love Halo.
And I think you have the Halo faithful that that are
like
are
me.
Ready to jump on that next game and get the pre-orders in.
I've already
pre-ordered. Whereas everybody knows there's going to be, like, you know, Call of Duty, and you know Activision knows this, like, that Activision knows that they're going to sell so many games, that they're going to sell 20 million copies of that game. So they're making 20 million copies of that game, right? And they'll be out, and there's no shortage. You're guaranteed to get one. Everybody can walk into Walmart at 1 a.m. and there's still going to be some left. Like,
it's gonna be an intense battle, I think, between those two. But I have a feeling Halo will come out on top.
You think so?
I think so, just because it's Halo.
I think the number of sales is
going to
go to Black Ops
2. Anyone who owns an Xbox is going to buy one.
I still think the number of sales is going to go to Black Ops 2.
Maybe, but not by a lot. If all the sales go to Black Ops.
But I guarantee you, like, you look at the total number of units that Modern Warfare 3 sells, and I guarantee you, probably slightly less than half are PS3. Because PS3 actually has more systems out there than Xbox 360 now.
That's true, yeah.
And then, you know, plus PC version of that game and that kind of stuff. So Black Ops, it has three systems, and, you know, even if people buy Halo instead of Call of Duty on 360, I think the PS3 sales are going to more than make up enough to edge it out. And it might be really close.
You're probably right. Just because
it might be really close. But, and also, doesn't Halo come out before Black Ops 2?
Yes. No. Yes. Yes, no. No, yes.
Yeah. What's that? You know the date for Halo?
November 11th for Halo, November 26th for Black Ops.
Something. It's or 18th. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. It's like the week after or something like that.
Next week is Darksiders.
Yes.
You ready for that? You excited?
I am excited. I'm not going to have time to play it.
That's right.
For a couple weeks. Darksiders 2 will probably have to wait. I'm definitely putting in my pre-order for Borderlands 2.
September. That would be nice.
My choice is Amazon, because you can get it day of.
Right.
Day of release. It'll get shipped to you. And you can do...
Which actually, for September, I mean, right now we're getting hit with Darksiders, Sleeping Dogs, and Transformers. But then in September, there's nothing but Borderlands. Borderlands
pretty
is
much,
really the only
it's
thing
owning
coming
it. Out. Yeah. And if you put your pre-order in on Amazon, you get $10
gift card
to
that's nice.
Amazon,
that's
which, nice. You know, I'll take that. I can buy my seminary textbooks with that $10.
I'm excited for what's coming up here. And
yeah, I'm going to want to try Sleeping Dogs so bad. That game does look fun.
It's going to be awesome. I'm hoping to get them both on Gamefly when they come out. We'll see if
it looks, I've never been huge on Grand Theft Auto. It was a little too far out for me.
Grand Theft Auto tries too hard.
The crime stuff and the, you know, like, in, you know, if you're going to go that over the top, you may as well do Saints Row. Of course, you know, I don't like Saints Row either, because it is too far over the top. But I think if you're going to go as far as Grand Theft Auto goes, you may as well go as far as Saints Row does.
It's like, it wants to be real, but then, like, you can run over people. And I don't know, it's interesting. It's like a real world, but you're not real. Like, you embody it as something who can cause whatever
just
you
do
want.
Whatever that you want.
Right.
And I played, don't get me wrong, I played Grand Theft Auto 3 on PS2. It was a very defining game. No. Just 3.
Just 3.
There was 3, right. Then whatever the heck, and Vice City, and then
I know Vice City and San Andreas were everybody's favorites.
Yeah. But 3 was really, you know, Grand Theft Auto 2 is top down.
Right.
And Grand Theft Auto 3 was the first, like, real world one. And I would put in cheat codes and see how many cops I could get chasing me and how long I could survive with 5 stars. And
I think that's all everybody does in Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
And see how
long. That was the game. And so I played that, but I haven't played any Grand Theft Auto since then. And but I'm looking forward to Sleeping Dogs. I just think it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's a kung fu action movie.
Kung fu, yes. It is
and
a kung fu action
movie. Every time you, like,
You are
every time you
Pat.
Every time you jump over cover, it goes into slow mo, like Max Payne bullet time kind of style, and that game does look like it's going to be a lot of fun. So maybe I'll find a way to pick that one up and try it out, and then I'll pick up Borderlands and then pick up Darksiders for
there's too much coming out in August.
I'll pick up Darksiders for my alone time play, like my single player kind of stuff, and we'll see how that goes.
They're gonna have a game plus mode in that too. They just said
in Darksiders.
Yeah, Darksiders 2 is going to have a game plus mode.
They also have I tweeted about it, but they added this thing. They call it the Crucible, and it's their challenge mode or whatever. Room. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to be fun, and I'm sure some people will own that thing. That just means I'm definitely never going to get that platinum trophy, because it's the same thing with, like, what took forever in the Batman games to get the platinum. Yes. I have a platinum in Asylum, not in Arkham City. I just didn't want to do the Riddler things mainly in Arkham City, but in Asylum, the part that took forever was those challenge rooms.
Yeah, those challenge rooms are awful.
To get the full
They're
scores.
Fun, but they can get repetitive.
Yep.
They did a good job though in Arkham City with them, because you actually
they
get to
better.
A boss.
Yeah,
they get to fight like Black. You get to fight like Black Mask and a couple of other guys. And actually, speaking of Twitter, if you're not following us, you definitely should.
Yeah. So at Gamers First, that's Gamers1ST, and so check us out on Twitter.
We post some good stuff on there. I actually just recently posted which is probably way too late now. I'm sure they took it down, but a YouTube video of Halo 4 of the Spartan laser. It was really quick. I don't know who got it on there or how, but it showed off the Spartan laser in Halo 4. That was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I did. I was able to catch that. So check us out on Twitter. We're breaking some stuff pretty early, pretty quick.
Yes, we beat some people.
We're beating some of the industry leaders. And that now, to their credit, it's probably because they're doing their
other
due diligence.
Yes.
Well, they're doing their due diligence. They're making sure it's real before they post it.
And I'm just posting.
But so far, you know, if you want to know, you know, the latest stuff and what's coming on,
remember,
and
we'll
at least get an idea. Yeah, absolutely.
It
can be the biggest room in the world. And we'll tell you that it's wrong. We'll tell you when we're wrong. We don't care.
But as we always like to finish, we always like to end you guys on some film news. And I do have more film news, as always, because I am a huge film nerd as well as a game nerd. We got some Batman news. I got more Batman. I mean, Batman's going to, I think, constantly
Batman's all over this.
He's all over the place.
He's so big right now. As Mugatu would say, he's Batman. He's so hot right now.
He is so hot right now. The Dark Knight Returns, which was a great graphic novel by Frank Miller, is actually being made into an animated film. It'll be two parts. Part 1 is coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, and on demand and digital download September 25th, 2012. So all you fans of The Dark Knight Returns will get a chance to
coming
watch the first
part. Yeah. Coming up soon.
And then something me and Drew were just talking about, which we're kind of, I don't know, are we sad about it? I mean, I don't know how to feel about this. Bane's origin sequence was actually in The Dark Knight Rises, and it was cut out. So it actually explained where he got the scar. It actually showed different variations
a little
of
more
his mask.
Of it, right.
And I think it actually showed him without his mask. So it kind of showed you like what happened to him. And that was filmed, that was shot, that was color corrected, that was just, and then it was taken out of the film.
So what I said is, you know, yeah, like it's I mean, it was definitely a long movie.
It was.
It didn't necessarily need that in the theaters. Love it in a director's cut.
I would too. Or if not, I mean, I know he doesn't do director's cut, but hopefully he will give us like huge
do it.
Special, yeah, no, just do it. Just
it's
put it in
it's
there.
A trilogy now.
I know.
Release them together on Blu-ray and give me a director's cut.
But if they, as long as they're on there somewhere and I get to watch it, that means
right. Yeah, it can be extended, deleted, whatever. It doesn't. Because
that was
fit.
Really. I mean, I always wanted to know. I mean, in our spoiler cast, we actually never talked about the fact that he's got this gnarly scar down his back.
Right.
And I mean, you have no idea what happened there. So I mean, maybe he broke his back. I mean, who knows? Because they talk about too a little bit how that one doctor had fixed, you know, Bane's back and all that.
Backs
stuff,
before,
so.
Right? Yeah.
Last bit of news here, which I'm super excited about. Joss Whedon is returning to write and direct The Avengers 2.
That's right. Joss Whedon is
is it Josh or
Joss?
Joss. That's what I thought. J-O-S-S. J-O-S-S.
Yeah. It's an interesting name. But
yeah.
But he did a great job with Avengers.
He did.
Still one of my favorite movies of the summer.
He will write and direct.
So I think we've got some good stuff coming ahead.
Oh, and he's
film.
Developing a Marvel TV show for NBC.
And I'm sure everybody's heard that The Hobbit is being split into three films, not two. And so this is we're hoping
this
Peter Jackson comes through for us. Well, we're hoping
one book.
I'm hoping Peter Jackson comes through for us because he did three movies out of three books, and all three of those books individually are bigger than The Hobbit.
Yeah.
So The Hobbit is the smallest of the books, and it's going to be three movies on its own.
So,
so we'll see. I have faith. Peter Jackson makes good Lord of the Rings movies.
He does. He likes that universe. So.
And there are like appendices and extra things outside of the book.
And they were saying that he might go more into Gandalf, which they never even talked about in the book of him fighting.
Right.
Who ended up being the guy that I lost his name. The main bad guy.
Sauron?
Sauron. Yeah. He fights this demon and it ends up actually being Sauron.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll be in the second movie.
So yeah, so hopefully there'll be some extra pieces in there and he can do well with that. But that's our film news and that's our podcast for today.
Yes, this is it.
So check us out at GamersFirst1ST and
I'm always on there tweeting. Yeah,
and I'm at TexasDI if you want to check me out. And our website, Gamers First Podcast, and this time first is spelled out.
Yes.
GamersFirstPodcast.wordpress.com.
We got lots of good stuff on there. We actually have like 15, 16 reviews, and you can find all of our podcasts on YouTube. Yeah. And then soon, video blog. So
check it out.
Lots of stuff coming.
Things are blowing up. Until next time, y'all take care.
Take it easy.
Do I go?